You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information.
Hi, and welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
We're your hosts, Aaron and Jennifer Smith.
We have been married 15 years and have five sweet children who are growing up way too fast.
We love God and we love marriage.
And we love to be honest about it all.
Marriage is not always a walk in the park, but we do believe it has a powerful purpose.
So our goal here is to open up the conversation to talk about our faith and our marriage.
Especially in light of the gospel.
We certainly don't have all the answers, but if you stick around, we may just make you laugh.
But our hope is to encourage you to chase boldly after God's purpose for your life together.
This is Marriage After God. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I promise I don't have the giggles this time. So if any of you were with us last week, I couldn't keep myself together. But here I am, feeling mostly composed.
Well, it's good because in today's episode, we're going to be talking about breezing over a little bit.
Hitting a nerve, maybe?
Maybe striking a match and igniting a fire on a conversation with money, investing in marriage.
So it's something serious. What you're saying.
Well, it feels serious these days.
All right. Well, today's episode is sponsored by our book, Marriage After God. This is a great resource for anyone or any couple that is looking for something meaty that will inspire and challenge a bit. It's a book that we wrote together. It dips into our story, but it also gets the reader to search out, what is God doing in my marriage? This book spends quite a bit of time talking about finances and marriage. So if you want to dive deeper into today's topic, we strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, Marriage After God. And you can get that at amazon.com or shop.marriageaftergod.com.
So in light of this topic of money, what was the inspiration? Why did you want to talk about this today?
Well, number one, I mean, money's like top of the list for when you're thinking about marriage, relational things
that stressors. Cause strife in marriage. Yeah, money's one of them.
Yeah, money's definitely one of them. Now you take that and put it in context to today's current situation.
The issues
like,
of
what are we
money
experiencing? And I think it makes it very relevant.
Do you think that we have like some sort of special like training in this? It's not really our genre necessarily. We have talked about money a lot in the past because God's used it in our life. But it seemed like a good idea to bring up because it's kind of on everyone's minds. Yeah. It's right in front of us, kind of at every turn.
I'll say this, if you're hoping to get some financial advice from today's episode, that's not what you're going to find here. You'll find encouragement. You'll find maybe hopefully some inspiration, some spiritual inspiration to get you and your spouse talking about finances in marriage. But if you want something more, go check out Dave Ramsey or other resources, other podcasts that really, really get into the nitty gritty of finances. Because this is more of just like, how does it relate to your marriage?
On some level,
which is important,
quote unquote, financial advice, as in encouraging them in the way to be thinking about it and
right,
and the usefulness of
it. We're
just
not giving direct, like, you should go do this.
Yeah. And I actually want to boldly and with asterisks disclaim that we're not financial advisors. And so please don't walk away from this episode and go do something and say, Aaron and Jen told me to do this. We're going to share with you things that we think about and things that we've walked through and things that we care about. And maybe you can learn something, but we're definitely not financial advisors.
Okay. Not to take a total tangent here, but you said the word asterisk.
Okay,
I had to look it up because my whole life I said asterisk, like asterisk. I don't know. When I see that little star, that's how I hear it. Asterisk. But lately, when I'm working with Elliot, like on spelling and language arts, I'm constantly looking up words and I'm realizing I'm saying things wrong. And so one of my words this week, Elliot turns to me, he goes, Mom, why have you been saying interrogative? It's interrogative. was like, hold on, let me Google it.
Interrogative.
Said that wrong all last year.
Oops. I'm sure there's a lot of words we've said wrong and continue to say wrong, but that's really funny. Okay, back to money.
Okay,
we're talking about money. So we've been married for 15 years, and I feel like we've gone through quite a few different seasons of life, specifically when it comes to money, like just how our relationship to it, how much we've had, how little we've had.
Depending on our jobs or what we were doing.
Yeah, we've gone through, and it's only been 15 years, and I feel like we're now in a new season financially, and it's just going to keep doing this roller coaster for the rest of our lives.
I can't think because there's so many variables. There's so many things that affect finances. And then there's us who affect our finances.
Decisions we make.
How we decide to spend it and save it and all of that.
Our relationship to it, which is kind of like what we kind of want to talk about today, is a little bit of that relationship aspect with money.
Yeah.
And also talk about some stuff that we've been learning and doing and experiencing ourselves. So we've been in seasons of debt. We've been in seasons of making very little, to no money at all. I even immediately thinking about stories in our life of just sitting in my car and we have no money in our
crisis.
Account.
Crisis.
To seasons of abundance, where God's just allowed us to have access to more than we ever thought we could have.
Yeah.
And back and forth and everything between. But, I feel like along the way, when I read this scripture in Philippians, when Paul talks about how God has taught him contentment in all circumstances. You know, that verse that we all like to use that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. The context of it is around how to be content when you have nothing or how to be content when you have a lot. Mm. And so his the point of that scripture is that he gives us the strength to handle every circumstance we come into in our life, whether poor or rich, whether having a little or a lot. And that's what God's been teaching us, is this idea of contentment in kind of every season. Mm-hmm. And they're hard in their own aspect in different ways, depending on what side you're on.
Well, in this idea for this episode that we had in talking about finances in relation to marriage, I thought it would be cool if we just talked about a little bit of our foundation of how we think and view of money, how we've kind of built our foundation in marriage. Do you want to share a little bit about where we've landed?
How we learned certain things.
Yeah.
Because we're not experts, but we've been learning a lot of our life, but we also have a disposition necessarily to money, how we think about it because of the way we were raised. I think our parents did teach us on some level about money. Either they taught us directly about money by things they told us and showed us, but I think we learned a lot of our thoughts of money, probably what we saw in our parents. Mm-hmm.
And our own experience as we got older. Okay, money coming in, money going out. Uh-oh, more money's going out. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So just basic,
or dealing with credit. Or
basic experience like of money. But a lot of like the dialogue we've had about money in our marriage has been based on the Bible and what, like going to the Bible and saying, well, what wisdom is there in the word that we can draw from? I was thinking about this the other day when we were getting ready to do this episode and just how thinking about our homeschool with the kids and what we want them to learn, because we're always thinking ahead. And it's like, we really want them to understand money. And I wish we were taught this more in school. I wish there was a whole, maybe there was, and I just missed it.
I had an economics class for my senior year is the only thing.
Like, but
the
one only, year when you're on your way out.
It was 1 year, but like, I also don't remember, I can't remember there being anything about investing, anything about spending.
Just think about taxes.
There
should be a serious talk about that. But we were thinking about for our homeschool, like how can we incorporate these really important principles to teach our kids and give them a really strong foundation for then propelling them into adulthood for finances.
Well, and it would be valuable, because I feel like we're learning stuff now that if we would have known it 20 years ago, we would have made probably significantly different decisions.
Here we are.
We're here where we're at. We're learning. And I think everyone listening is in the same place. They look back over their lives, the decisions they've made financially. They can always pinpoint those, like, I shouldn't have spent that money, or wish we would have saved here, or I'm glad we saved, or made this decision. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, going back to, you know, the Bible's wisdom over money, we wanted to share a couple of those anchor verses that we kind of lean onto when we're making financial decisions. But I wanted to share with you guys a cool resource that we use when we're looking up stuff in the Bible. It's called openbible.info, and it literally says, what does the Bible say about, and then it has a search bar for you to just fill in, and it gives you all the verses in that topic, and you can even search by Bible
translation
version. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And these scriptures, like we said, a lot of the way we think about money, we try and go back to the Bible and say, okay, what does God say about money? And having God's perspective on it, because it does help us. It doesn't mean we've made all the right decisions, but mm-hmm. even when we make wrong decisions, we can easily look back and be like, well, that's probably because we were unwise in this way, or that's probably because we didn't follow this principle. So one of them is 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through the craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So when I was reading through this scripture for this episode, the first thing I wanted to point out is I feel like this is probably one of the most misquoted scriptures. Often people say money is evil specifically, or money is the root of evil. But that's not what this is saying.
Because money is just like it's a piece of paper. It's like nothing, right?
Yeah, money is an inanimate object. It cannot be sinful or good mm-hmm. or bad. It's just
it's not
a
the
thing.
Money that's doing it. It's yeah. what is inside of us.
It says, for the love of money mm-hmm. is a root of all kinds of evil. So this isn't even the main root. This is just one of the roots that could be a root of all kinds of evil, is when we have love for money. So,
well, a root supports like a stem of a plant that grows mm-hmm. bigger. And so if you think about it, it's like when you have the love of money and your thirst for it, and
some
your
bad
greed,
things are going to grow out of that.
Oh, many, not mm-hmm. just one serious thing, but like you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, and the Bible talks a lot about fruit, mm-hmm. good or bad fruit. Mm-hmm. So talking about vine, if we have a love for money, because it does, it becomes that root. And then the fruit that's going to come out of that is going to be bad fruit. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to point that out, as this is saying the love of money. This is something that's happening with inside of our hearts, mm-hmm. our disposition toward money. Do we see money as our God? Do we see money as our savior? Do we see money as our protection?
Yeah. Security, mm-hmm. all of those things.
And then I love that it says, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. One of the things that Jennifer and I have learned is anytime we've overstretched ourselves to try and do something to get more money, which we try and start businesses. We end up having more pangs. Mm-hmm. We're like, man, I wish we just would have been fine where we were at. And that's something that we've had to feel that pain several times in our lives for different little things. But that's a true thing. When we have a love of this, if we have a love for money, it's going to have us wander away from the most important thing in our life, which is our faith, which is our trust and reliance on Christ, to who knows what. I mean, you
at
fill
minimum
the
it distracts us for sure.
At minimum, yes.
All right. Another one is Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Yeah.
Every time I've read this in my past, especially growing up, I always just thought it's so interesting that it's talking about two masters. And then at the very end, it says you cannot serve God and money. Like, he was talking about money the whole time. What?
Yeah, the two masters. One is God and one's money.
Interesting.
And actually, the word money there, it's a Greek word, mammon, which is like a god. Mm-hmm. It was like a god of wealth, a god of riches. And so Matthew's pointing out, you know, from the words of Jesus, like, we can't serve God and serve, like, going back to 1 Timothy, that love of money, that pursuit of, I need more. We're at that point, we're not serving God anymore.
Well, if you think about all the things that start to change when you go in a certain direction, or when you serve a master, you can, your intentions change, your motivations change, your goals mm-hmm. change.
Well, and I've felt seasons of this where I can feel myself like all I can focus on is making sure we have enough money. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, I'm constantly brought to my knees and saying, God, this is so much on my mind. This is mm-hmm. such a draw for me. It takes so much energy to do this. I mean, there's also that thought, like, I wish I didn't have to worry about that. And we just do this over here, but we also need money. So it's a part of life.
I know this isn't like a part of our notes, but as you're just mentioning that, how do you How do you also carry that weight of responsibility for your family? Because you're saying in one hand, like, you don't want to be consumed and chase after that need to have to, like, provide. But then there's this responsibility aspect where it's necessary. And so what's the balance?
I'm going to be honest. It stresses me out sometimes.
I'm sure you're not the only one.
I'm sure there's a lot of husbands listening that feel the same way, that there's this constant, like, well, I can't just go be a missionary. I got to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I got to take care of my family. And that's, you know what? That is a ministry. We talk about this in our book, this idea of money as a tool rather than, you know, our pursuit, mm-hmm. like whether like the thing that we're trying to mm-hmm. obtain. Because yeah, that's a really good question. And
there's tension.
Absolutely requires me to seek God and ask for help a lot, because I feel like I go in this ebb and flow where I feel like I'm pushing too hard to make sure finances are right or growing or being invested well. And then I could feel like I don't push hard enough. And mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I should have been working harder. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one that all the men listening are shaking their heads to right now. Like I am.
I'm sure they appreciate that. Okay. So the next one is Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law.
I love this one because
we share this one a lot.
We have shared this one a lot, especially on this idea of getting out of debt. Because I do believe that believers should have a mentality and a posture towards money that we don't love debt, that we don't keep debt, that our lifestyle isn't like, hey, I'm just going to spend and consume, but that we conserve and we are content and we use less. And so we use this verse in that sense of, oh, no one anything. Like our main, the only thing we should owe people is our love to each other in the church mm-hmm. and in the world. But there's debt sometimes. And if we have, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, if we have a debt-free mentality, even though we may have debt, it does change a lot of things the way we operate in this world. And so I do believe our goal should be to be debt-free on as much as we can, and to definitely avoid consumer debt. But I think the main focus of this verse is that we owe love to each other. Mm-hmm. And so that is the main focus of this verse, is what we owe to each other is our love for each other.
Cool. Just digging in a little bit more to this idea of living a debt-free lifestyle. And just personally, Aaron, I feel like when we got into our marriage, you came with this foundation of no debt, like debt's not good. And you had this understanding of it. Was there something that inspired that in you other than the word, or?
Well, I believe, if you remember, like we talked about this, I had a lot of debt. You had some debt before we got married, but you paid it off before we even got married.
Yeah. It was like a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. But when we're young, that feels like a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And I had, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in
school loans,
which felt like a lot. And what happened was we were trying to be missionaries and we were living on almost no income, you know, volunteering for this organization.
And when we were doing that, your loans were deferred. So we didn't have the responsibility to pay them yet until mm-hmm. one day it was like, oh,
I'm going to have to pay these.
Wow. Now. This is reality. Yeah.
Yeah. So from going from being able to live off of almost nothing to all of a sudden I have to pay this pretty large bill to us back then. It was huge. It was a couple $100 a month, mm-hmm. which would have been a big deal from us living off of very little to nothing. And we realized, like, man, we should probably go home and just get rid of this debt. Let's just go get jobs. Let's go work and let's work hard and let's do everything we can.
Really hard to get out of that debt.
And
it's not an easy thing. Like when we encourage mm-hmm. you guys and you hear us say, live a debt-free lifestyle, we know it's hard. We know it's easier said than done. We know what it takes. And I just wanted you to hear that. It's a painful experience.
So I would say that's where we came from. There was this, I believe, a godly motivation to get free from the debt so that we can be free to do more of what God has for us. I believe that's what we were feeling. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And because of that, I don't know if everyone knows this, but this ministry that we have now, all was invented in that same season of getting out of debt. Almost like right at the end of paying off of our debt, this ministry was born. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we didn't have that plan. We had no idea that we were, this ministry was going to be a thing when we started getting out of debt. We just knew that God wanted to use us. And we knew that the debt was something that could hold us back. Mm. And so we're like, okay, let's just get rid of this while we can. It was really hard. I remember us having lots of arguments, conversations, tears around like lots not being able to do what other couples our age were doing, not being able to have pots and pans, not being able to have, like, there were, I remember these conversations, but in reality, it was a very short season. It was a couple of years, I think. Mm-hmm. And
it's way gone now.
it's way in the past. And man, we look back on that and we're like, we're so thankful that we took that initiative. And it may not be able to be everyone's story, but some of the things that we've learned along the way and that we share with people is this way of thinking about debt, not getting into more of it, not spending more than you have. Like, all those things are very important. Dave Ramsey talks about it. And the Bible talks about how we should be with our money. So I think I would say it wasn't our idea, but it was a cool journey that we got to go through in the early part of our marriage together.
Cool. Well, I'm going to turn the dial on this conversation slightly. I guess it still kind of has to do with debt, but more so.
It's more so our country's debt.
Our country's debt. We're going to talk a little bit about inflation because it is affecting everyone right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I could just come right out and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone. It's hard. It's hard to go through marriage when the world kind of seems unstable and challenging.
Jennifer asked me, you asked me at the beginning of this episode before we started. You said, what do you want to get out of this episode?
Yeah.
Like, cause we always ask ourselves, what do we want for you, the listener? And I was like, I just want them to know it's okay, that we're all in the same boat and that these things are going to happen in the world and that our money, that money and our finances and our wealth are not our security. They're just not. And so that we're talking about these things to just remind us that our security is in Christ alone, that this is not our home, and that we can trust him and rely on him. And we can know that let's just try and do the next right thing. Mm-hmm. Let's try and walk in his wisdom. Let's make changes. So that's kind of what I want to get out of this episode. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about inflation is because it's a real thing and it does affect everyone pretty much equally across the board. So just a quick overview of what's happening in the world right now, and at least in the United States, but it's kind of happening in the whole world. But I'm just going to talk about some of the stats that we have here in the US. Inflation essentially is the depreciation of the dollar. So we have a $1 bill and we think it's worth a dollar, but in reality, it's not worth a dollar because what that dollar could buy 20 years ago and what that dollar can buy today, not the same things. So here's some quick stats for you based off of the inflation percentages over the last several years. From 2012 to 2020, the average is probably about 2.1. You know, we have a 1.7% increase, 1.5, a 2.1. But in 2021, I have a graph on this page. Babe, do you see that?
Yes,
yeah. So from 2020, it's 1.4%, 1.4% inflation. 2021, 7%.
Crazy.
2022, 8.3%. Those are huge numbers. And these are average numbers. These aren't like to take into account, you know, the cost of milk or the cost of gas or the, and you can all, we're all thinking about the thing that costs more to us now. And we're like, oh my goodness. According to the US Bureau of Labor Statistics, $100 in 2016, okay, could buy you what now costs $123. Mm. That's a 23% increase on average on goods and services. Mm. That's huge. In what, 5 years, 6 years, barely? That's a big jump, and that affects us. Like, we don't think about this, but that actually affects us.
Because it's accounted for over everything. It's not just one thing, right? It's also, I mean, think about gas. Since just gas the prices. Last year or two, it's been...
Well, for us, like, we don't have the best economic vehicle for gas. Mm-hmm. We never had to usually think about it because gas prices for a long time were pretty decent. The average price in 2020 was $2.25. But even at one point, it was $1.90. Like, that was so low back in the day. And that was only in 2020.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I was looking this up, and it says today's average gas price across the nation is $3.70. I just don't believe that. We're paying $4.80 here in Bend. And I just, at other places are higher, but 370 is the national average.
Okay.
But that's still more than a dollar and a half. That's a dollar and a half more in 2 years.
It's a lot of fuel.
That's a lot of money for fuel.
So is this because of the last 2 years and COVID and everything?
Those things are part of it. I'm not going to, again, I'm not an economist, I should say, but things like COVID, it did have an effect on this because of how we printed money. If you don't understand this, how this works, that the government can print money. And so we print our dollars, we print our tens, our twenties, our hundreds. They can also create money in other ways. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the inflation that we have now is because, this is kind of crazy, but this is according to NASDAQ.com, over 80% of all available money that's been printed or created has happened in the last 2 years. That's not a joke.
I don't even understand what you're saying right now.
It's crazy. I'm looking at another graph and we can see from 1950 all the way to 2020. And there's this steady incline. And in 2010, there was a pretty steep incline. But then from 2020 to 2022, it just looks like a knife going straight up out of the ground. And the amount of money that we've created. So we think about the COVID relief bill and they printed just trillions of dollars to give out to people. And that was great for people that needed it. But now that money's gone and everything costs more. Mm. So because we got that little bit of relief then, it's actually hurting us now in a big way. And it's actually going to hurt our kids and our grandkids. So this a lot of this inflation is caused by, the simplest way to put it, too much money chasing too little resources. So that's just what happens when there's a lot of money and there's very little stuff to buy. All those things that we buy on a normal basis become way more expensive. I know I'm being very basic and there's probably people that are way smarter than me thinking, oh, he doesn't even know the half of it. But all I know is inflation's here and I don't know how long it's going to last. And it affects us all.
I'm sure we surprised our listeners today because we don't usually draw in statistics or
sometimes, yeah. But we think about a lot of these things. There's a lot of things that we discuss with our friends and in our personal life that we don't always bring up, but we care about and we think about and we consider. And it, I want to bring up another little story. Yeah. We built this house, but we actually planned on building this house in 2020. Mm-hmm. And we were really close to closing on a piece of property to build this house. And we backed out of it because of everything happening in the markets. And we thought, you know, we have no idea what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen with all the prices of goods.
We're about to have our baby.
About to have a baby. And we just canceled it. And we're like, well, wait. Now, in hindsight, it would have been better to do it then than it was to do it now, because all the things that we feared happening then were affecting us.
All the resources.
Now. Yeah.
All the material.
The cost of materials skyrocketed for us, which they wouldn't have back then.
Yeah, that was hard.
But again, it's all hindsight. We can't see the future. Yeah. So we just tried to do the wisest thing we could do in that moment. And that's what we did. And I don't regret it. But at the same time, I look back and say, oh, well, the things we were worried about, we were a little early on.
Yeah. Okay. So with all of this information you just shared about inflation, what can the couples listening do to talk about it? How does one talk about finances in light of world stage stuff? Like,
what have we done? I was going to ask what do we do?
We talk about it.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
Even when we don't really understand everything, every aspect, we try to. We try and dig in and you know, look at the news and talk to friends, like you said.
There's been a lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer.
Because I don't know how many times I just pray, God, I have no idea what to do. Please help me. We can't fix this.
Something that's really encouraged me is we reassure one another to trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always helpful for me because I tend to be more of a fearful or, you know, I get anxious thoughts and stuff. And so reminding each other to rely on the Lord is really important.
Yeah. And it's something that is good to remind us. I think we talked about in episode one of this season about how sometimes we can look in hindsight and just see so clearly all the decisions we made and think, why did we make those decisions? Why didn't we make this decision?
Right.
And we kind of like judge ourselves on like, oh, we failed or we did all this bad stuff. We didn't make any good decisions. Reminding each other that we did try with the knowledge we had in the situations we were in to make wise decisions.
Yeah.
We did try.
Yeah.
And also, hey, sometimes there was decisions that we made and let's learn from it rather than just keep kicking ourselves down.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And then there's things that we can do. So in the talking about it, like, hey, what is happening in our finances? There's also the talking about what can change or what can be done to help relieve some of that, those pain points.
Like drive way more.
No.
Drive way less because gas prices.
This is a serious conversation and I know it's hard, but like what sacrifices can be made? What things can be done that you weren't doing that could help the situation of finances? You know, maybe it's taking a break from some extracurricular thing or putting things on pause for a little bit that maybe you'd like to do, but now's not a good time.
Yeah. We talked about a few seasons ago, date night ideas because we were big advocates on regular date nights, but with money being tight, regular date nights in the way we may usually do it, going to dinner or doing something like that, may not be appropriate.
We actually took a break for a good chunk of months.
For like a year.
It wasn't a year.
No, but it felt
like it. It was for a while.
Taking breaks from maybe dates that cost money.
Swapping babysitters with friends.
Yeah, swapping babies. That's another thing. Babysitters cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And so swapping with friends, but just getting creative with our lifestyle is a big deal to address the issue of not having enough money in a certain season.
Yeah.
So a verse that we can remember, and this is, it's a verse in 1 Timothy where Paul's talking to Timothy about how he addresses certain people in the church, but there's a principle here that we can glean from. It's in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." And so this is, he's talking to Timothy about like, hey, there's wealthy people in the church. Encourage them with this. But I want to put this out there that if we live in America, now I know that everyone's on varying levels of wealth or income, but we're very fortunate to live in a country that has free commerce and we can start businesses and we can invest and we're still currently fairly free people. And we're wealthy in many other ways than just money. And I want to remind us of that, and especially as believers, guys, we are rich in Christ. We are rich in God, and we need to remember that. And we're not to put our hope in the uncertainty of riches, of money, of gaining more and more and more. It is not our strong tower. In the Proverbs, it says that a fool sees his riches as his strong tower. They're not. That having little or a lot of money is not what keeps us.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christ that keeps us. And that's what his encouragement here is that let's put our hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy.
So when we say things like put our hope in God or put our trust in God, that's not like something that we just wake up every day and say, okay, my hope's in God, and then carry on with the things we like to do for entertainment or go have fun.
Yeah, just keep going and not changing at all.
So like there is that tension of saying my hope and trust is in the Lord, but I still have all these responsibilities and job and, got to work hard to do and provide.
Well, I put that in the category of, testing God. We're told never to test the Lord, not to put him to the test. So it's like, I trust God, therefore I'm just going to rack up my credit card and not worry about it, and he'll figure it out. No, it's I'm going to walk in wisdom because my hope's in God. These things that I crave and desire, I'm going to say no to because I can't afford them and I don't need them because my hope's in God. Mm. I can make these changes that feel really hard and painful and scary, but my hope is and trust is in God. I think that's more what it's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, just clarifying. So we're on Mark 4:19.
Yeah, there's another verse in the parables of the seed and the soil, the sower and the seed, in Mark 4:19, verses 18 and 19, actually, it says, "And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." This is another danger and a principle on when it comes to money and the cares of the world, is that when we focus on that only, we're being deceived, because riches are deceitful. They come and they go, the Proverbs say. Mm-hmm. As fast as it's here is as fast as it's gone. So if we're looking forward to that next, like, oh, all we need is this, then we've forgotten that we're to rely on every word that comes out of the mouth of God for our sustenance, for our security, for our for everything we need. And so that word that's trying to work in us, God's word that's trying to work in us, it can be choked out by us just having our eyes on our cares, on our worries, on seeking after money and the desires of all the things that we crave in this life. And it chokes it. It chokes it out. And then that word can't produce fruit in our lives. So if all we're focusing on is the inflation, oh my goodness, the gas prices, oh my goodness, if those are the only thing that we're worried or caring about, then we're going to forget what God might be trying to do inside of us right now through this season.
All right, so this next question is for our listeners. How do we keep marriage thriving under financial burden or strain? So when there is that weight of expectation and responsibility and just,
tightness of things.
Yeah, how does a marriage keep going? What do we do?
I think on a very simple level, we ask each other questions.
Yeah. So we meet each other face to face. We talk. We kind of already touched on that earlier. Mm-hmm. But like, we ask even just, how are you doing? And giving each other the room to comfort each other, to encourage one another. We ask, what can we do about it? Mm-hmm. What can we do about this thing that we're under the weight of?
Yeah, the what can we do about it? I know the men, we like to jump on.
Solutions.
Like, hey, let's do the solutions. But as a man, based on jumping off of your last question to me about, how do I deal with trying to not overdo it, pursuing finances and then trusting God and pursuing him? And I really appreciate it when you ask me how I'm doing with these things, when you recognize that that is a heavy weight. Mm. And I know that there's probably someone listening that the wives also bring in money, and that's very common these days. And to be honest, me and you, we work together, so the money comes from both of us, but the burden of managing it is on my shoulders. Yeah. And when you recognize that, when you know that I'm constantly thinking about that and like trying to figure out what we're going to be doing and how we're going to take care of it and manage all these things, I do appreciate that.
Cool.
So I think that's a good question to ask.
Good.
Yeah. Your spouse, whoever you know, might have that burden on their shoulders.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think a follow-up to that is, what else can I do that would help alleviate stress in another area? Because I might not be able to take this huge weight off your shoulders right now.
Right.
But is there another area of your life? Like, can I go clean and organize your garage for you? Or can I?
You could absolutely go clean and organize my garage.
I'm just saying, like, let's put eyes and hearts on what can we do to minimize some of the other stress points in life? Because when it's hard enough to handle one thing, all the other things do the compound effect. And that's hard.
I think, and I don't know if this goes for everyone, but for our situation, for our relationship, I know that there are things that are on your mind. We were just talking about it tonight, about all the things in our life that we need done.
Yeah.
And not that you can't bring them up and remind me and say, hey, we have things to do. We got a list. Let's, you know, figure out a way to chip at it. Like we talked about in the last episode, pace, about slowly, you know, chipping away at stuff. Recognizing that there might be a heavier load than I need to bear. And not like heaping stuff on top of it. And I'm not trying to I'm not trying to beat around the bush. I'm just saying, I think other husbands might feel that way of like they're, because there's all these other things, sometimes the way we might respond is I'm anxious and I'm overwhelmed. So I'm going to dump all this stuff I'm overwhelmed with on my spouse because I want them to help me figure it out or I need help. And then forgetting that they also have a bunch of things that they're stressed and overwhelmed about that they may not be saying anything or so just being aware of that and
I think that's
communicating
really good.
Well,
I think it's good for me to hear that.
Evaluating what's necessary.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, how can I make the load? Like you said, how can I make the load less?
Yeah. That's really good. Cool. Well, I think another important aspect to all of this is just understanding that we both make mistakes, especially when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. And when both people,
you mean like the paintball gun I bought once. Cause I just,
okay, that
really
was a long time ago. I'm not holding that against you, but yes, he did do that once when we had no money.
Not that buying a paintball gun's bad, but we shouldn't, I shouldn't timing. Have bought it then.
It was bad timing. When we have access to funds, like there's times that we make mistakes or we make a purchase that maybe we shouldn't have. And I just want to encourage us to be people of humility and recognizing that none of us are perfect. And it's something that we can all walk through with grace and say, okay, well, we shouldn't have done that, but let's move on. What do you always say? Do the next right thing.
Yeah. Let's do the next right thing.
How do we reconcile this?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we've been talking about this a lot is, and again, instead of kicking ourselves for past mistakes, let's practice learning from them and say, okay, we did make that mistake. We're going to admit it, but we're going to let it teach us.
Yeah.
Because that's so much better than just self-loathing or self-defeat.
Yeah.
Learning from our mistakes is what I believe God would want for us, is to grow.
Yeah. So. I'd say there's one more powerful aspect to marriage that I want to bring up that can really help carry you guys through a stressful time with finances. And that's understanding the power of your unity in marriage, because when you start to blame each other or pinpoint, oh, this debt is your fault, or this problem is your fault, or this decision is your fault, it just starts to crumble from there. So, and I know that from experience, because I did this to Aaron back in the early days of our marriage, and I blamed him for a lot of the burden, the financial burden that was on us. But what I realized is when we can team up and work together, no matter who's at fault, because that part doesn't matter. The part that matters now is that you're one and that you're working together to get out from under it. That's what works. There's power in that.
Well, and isn't that the verse in Ecclesiastes?
Yes. Yes. Two, go read chapter 4.
Two are more profitable.
Yep.
So, I want to, Jennifer brought up that we're going to talk about cryptocurrency.
Sorry, we ran out of time.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk about it real quick. And here's why I want to bring it up. So cryptocurrency or stocks or investing real estate, I just want to mention, I know not everyone's in a place that they might be in to be able to invest. Maybe you don't have a lot of extra cash, liquid cash. I just want you all to know that to have a mindset of investing long-term, whatever that looks like, is a very good thing, I think.
You're not saying it has to be crypto. You're just saying in general, long-term investing. And
this is why I say this.
What can be done? Yeah.
There are things that we have invested in over the years, a little bit here or a lot, you know, whenever we could, that I'm looking at now that are very helpful in this season where things are tighter. Not that I want to just go liquidate things, but I could if I needed to.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting that wisdom out there that having that mindset of putting a little bit somewhere, not just in a savings account that's yielding you 0.001%.
It's like that legacy living.
Yeah. It's thinking longer term than just tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is not, again, I did not get taught this necessarily growing up. I didn't get taught this in school. And so that's why we're bringing that up. Cryptocurrency.
Okay, but cryptocurrency, because you were saying that in general, but cryptocurrency, some people, this is their first or second time hearing this word, and they're like, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with marriage?
Well, they're going to hear about it more and more over the years. Okay. They just are. It's going to become more and more mainstream. I learned about cryptocurrency for the first time back in 2015, 2016.
You'd come home all excited.
I was like, consulting with
I don't know what you're talking about.
Some dudes, they were really cool guys, and they had a Bitcoin mining machine. Okay. I still don't actually know what they do, but I heard about it back in 2015. If I would have invested back in 2015, but that's again, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But I learned about it then, but it wasn't until, 2020 that I really...
Yeah, because there was this huge crash in the markets.
Yeah.
And then you started...
I'll get there in a second.
Hold on. I got to explain. Aaron's got this very research nature about him. And when he gets excited about something, he dives all in and he can't stop or shut off his brain until he understands that thing. And so, okay.
Only a few things.
Okay. Okay. Things you really care about.
So real quick, cryptocurrency, it's a digital currency in which transactions are verified and records maintained by a decentralized system using cryptography. Again, stuff that I don't really know about, rather than being a centralized authority. So our currency that we have, the US dollar, is managed by the United States, a centralized authority. Cryptocurrency is managed by lots of people, lots of computers, all over the world. So it's decentralized. And that's essentially the idea of what cryptocurrency is. And cryptocurrency is built on this idea of a thing called blockchain. Blockchain is a system in which a record of transactions made in Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency are maintained across several computers that are linked in peer-to-peer network.
Simplify it.
Essentially, again, I'm learning all this stuff as I go. It's a ledger. It's like this, if you think about a spreadsheet, yeah, just with line items, columns, but it lasts forever.
Okay.
And so imagine
it's a record.
It's a record. So imagine this. I give you $1 bill. It's a freshly printed dollar bill. Now imagine if you can keep a precise record of every hand that dollar bill passes through.
So you give that dollar to me
and it remembers me and it remembers you.
And then I pass it off to someone else.
But it also keeps track of what it was spent on, when it was spent on, where it was spent on. And so, and forever.
Hold on, doesn't that scare you a little bit?
It's terrifying. Okay. But this is the future of money. This is where money's going. That almost every government in the world is planning on doing some form of digital currency. Hmm. The United States is already working on a digital dollar. And there's already 10,000 or so cryptocurrencies in the world being traded currently. So the reason we're sharing all this with you is because it's something that I've been passionate about for the last few years. Again, I'm not telling you what to do. Don't say Aaron told me to go buy cryptocurrency, but I do think you should be considering investing a little bit, if you can, somewhere. That's something you should think about.
I'll say this as a wife, like, we've had some really interesting conversations about cryptocurrency.
Yes, we have.
Very interesting.
But it's been something that we've been having fun learning about together.
Yeah.
But something, some processes I want to put in your plate when it comes to this idea of investing. Before we decide to put money anywhere, let alone crypto, what have we done?
We talk about it for a long time.
Together.
We talk about it.
Yeah.
We go through all the pros, cons,
yep,
this, that, I don't understand. Wait a minute.
And then we agreed about it. We agreed on something. Mm-hmm. We said, we're going to do X. Yeah. We're going to invest this. Thirdly, we made sure to use expendable funds.
So this was stuff that if all went haywire and we lost, it wouldn't put us in a position that put our family at risk of financial ruin.
I didn't
ruin.
Take all of our paychecks and dump it into this. I'm like, oh, we can't buy food. So those are some principles to consider when thinking about investing in anything. Are you talking about it? Have you made a plan? Do you have available funds that you're willing, this is the key word, are willing to lose?
Yeah. And do research. Like just,
yeah,
you can't just rely on someone else's word. But like really dig in and see what everybody's word is on it.
This is a famous term.
Do what you can.
All the articles I read on trading, it always says, do your own research.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be liable for your trade and you lose money. I don't want to be liable for that either. So do your own research. Just some things to know about cryptocurrency specifically.
More stats.
It's extremely volatile.
Oh.
So it's not like the stock market where you're dropping like 10%, 5%, and then you're going up 10%, 5%, 2%. This is like, you can go up 10,000% or you can drop 100%. And it's like that. It's crazy. It's like the Wild West. So just know that. Do your research. Also, if you are going to get into cryptocurrency, get in to it for the technology rather than the means to get rich. So understand whatever that currency you're looking at, what its purpose is. What does it do?
Because what Aaron's saying, these blockchains that they're built upon.
They're technologies.
They're technology and they're actually used for
Well, some of them, not
some
all
of, some of them are
not
used all for other things.
Okay. But some of them are very useful, very smart. Here's some quick stats for you, just because you're probably thinking like, okay, what's this deal with cryptocurrency?
More so they're like, how long is this episode?
In 2016, there were 5 million people worldwide who owned crypto. This year, there's now more than 320 million
people
worldwide who own cryptocurrency. That's a 6,300% increase from 2016 to today. 13% of the U.S. owns crypto. That's a pretty big chunk. It's over 10%.
I was thinking that there's still a lot of people that aren't in it.
Well, there is. There's still, you know, 87%. here's some stats on the owners of cryptocurrency. 63% are male, 37% female, 72% aged under 34. So again, we should always take note of like, what are the young generation what are they investing in?
What
are they interested in?
Okay.
71% have a bachelor's degree or higher.
Okay.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. The average crypto owner earns about $25,000 per year. Also crazy. So these are just some average stats across the whole board. Again, not everyone earns money, but so we just wanted to bring that up because that's something that we've been interested in. It has been on some levels a blessing to us. And it's been fun to learn, and it's a pretty awesome thing to be learning about.
But more than that, you really believe that the future has crypto in its, like...
Yes, I do.
Within reach.
It's especially like, okay. If you read the Bible. Okay. I look at it and say, okay, this plays into all the things that I consider when it comes to
Is that another events. Episode we need to flesh out?
I feel like we did an episode last season, end time stuff. So again, we know that not everyone has a lot of money to invest, but there are ways to invest, maybe not in crypto, maybe not in real estate, but you know, you could put $100 here or $10 there into something that's going to grow. Maybe that's a friend's business. Maybe you have a friend that wants to start a candle business or a soap making business, or who knows, a crocheting business. Maybe you say, hey, can I help you a little bit and, you know, work out something with them. Another good way to invest is in yourself. This is a note that you put down that I thought was really good about getting out of debt.
Living a debt-free lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah, living
That's a huge investment.
It is, because imagine if you have this, let's say you have a $100 payment on a credit card. You get rid of that credit card. Now you have $100 more in your bank account. That's a pretty good investment in my opinion. So Investing in your family and yourself in that way is a pretty awesome thing to chip away at debt.
All right. Well, I think we've spent a long in-depth time on this topic, and I'm really grateful for it. We've had a lot of good conversation in our own marriage about finances, and it's helped me grow to understand more about the world of money. And so we just want to be an encouragement to you guys listening to go home and talk about it with your spouse. Maybe if you need to re-listen to this episode with them, alongside them, it would be a really great way to, like we said in the beginning, ignite that fire of conversation and just see where each other's at. See where each other are at and evaluate your finances. Be willing to talk about the hard things. Ask each other, how are you doing? Or how can I help alleviate this stress that you've been experiencing, even if it's in another area of marriage, because all these things matter. And
then be asking yourself, which is why we brought up cryptocurrency, is as a family, how can we be thinking for the future? Mm-hmm. How can we be preparing so that our kids may be better off than we are? And leaving that legacy of understanding of finances and how to use it.
Well, when we understand finances and we use wisdom, we become a light in this world and people take notice and they want to know, how are you doing that thing? Or why are you doing it like that? And our answer is God. And therefore we become a light in this world and we become good stewards of what he's entrusted to us. Mm-hmm. So all good things.
Last note.
We can't keep going.
You have to. That's why we care about money. Yeah. Not because we love money, but because we know how God can use it.
Yep.
And that, like we say in our book, it's a tool to be used for God's glory.
Amen.
So.
Very good.
Challenge.
Okay. Moving on. Weekly challenge. First of all, I just want to let everyone know, because it's a cliffhanger. We did the challenge from the last 2 weeks. And so we didn't get to go do... pickleball because we got hit with some major fires here in Central Oregon.
There's tons of smoke.
And it's just really bad outside. I've even had a headache from it. But we did do a game. We played Boggle.
I've never played it before.
Yeah, and we'll never say who won. Moving right along. Aaron won. We played a couple of rounds
It took us a couple of rounds to figure out how to play it. We're like, this game doesn't make any sense.
It's a good two-player game. It was fun.
It was.
And then we worked out together. We did some lifting.
Little 20-minute little quick little workout.
Some rowing. It was great.
So we did it. So this week's challenge is dream together about something you both love and enjoy, or about future business ideas or whatever it is that you guys just, what's a dream you have together that you guys can be discussing and figuring out?
Yeah. A simple question to answer is, what is something that excites you about next year?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The prospect of cheaper gas, hopefully.
So this can be setting a goal or dreaming. It doesn't really mean it has to happen. It's just being creative with one another. Aaron and I like to do this from time to time. We dream about our retirement plan, which
is not really a retirement plan.
We don't know if it'll ever happen, but it does involve donuts.
It does, actually. You just give our secret away.
I know, because why not?
Yes, our retirement plan does involve donuts.
Okay. Also, if you have the Marriage After God book or you're planning on getting it, you can read through or skim chapter 13 together if you want, because it's all about dreaming together.
All about dreaming together. We're going to end with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all of the ways you have provided for us. Thank you for our finances, our jobs, and helping us provide for our families. Thank you for the times other people have helped us, encouraged us, advised us, and supported us through hard times. We pray we would be people who would be eager and ready to be used by you to help others who are in need. We pray you would give us wisdom in handling and managing our finances. Please teach us the best ways to save and spend what we have. We pray we would learn to invest in ways that work out for our family. We pray we would be able to build up all that we have to bless generations of families that come after us. When the world experiences crisis and it interrupts our finances, when inflation causes tension, when hard times create a burden of stress, we pray we would remain humble and steadfast. We pray we would trust in you. Please help us to encourage one another in the areas of finance. We pray we would trust each other in marriage with money and protect our hearts from greed. Lord, we pray for wisdom and continual growth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Marriage After God podcast.
If you found today's episode fun and encouraging, please take a moment to share it on social media or in an email to some of your married friends.
Also, would you please take a moment and leave us a review? Reviews help to spread the word about our podcast.
Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and you can always check out more of our resources at marriageaftergod.com.
You can follow us on social media for more marriage encouragement on Facebook and Instagram at Marriage After God, at Husband Revolution, and at Unveiled Wife.
We hope you have an incredible week and look forward to sharing more with you next week on the Marriage After God podcast. Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.